My friends, in Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. This morning, as I mentioned, with the letter of Philemon has come around in the cycle of scripture readings. I don't know that I've ever preached on this epistle before, so I'm excited to do so. It is such a powerful little letter that Paul wrote here. And I want to reread for you now just a portion of that letter, starting in the 17th verse. Paul writes, "So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me your own self." God's word. Please be seated. Can two people who genuinely dislike each other come in Christ to be friends? Can grace and forgiveness be that big? A couple of thousand years ago, that seems to be precisely what happened between a man named Philemon and his runaway slave, Onesimus. This shortest of Paul's epistles is addressed to a man named Philemon. Must have been a man of some means because he owned slaves. He was from the city of Colossae, where he lived with his wife Apphia, their son Archippus, all of whom may have been converted in one of those mass household baptisms into the Christian faith. And because this family is a little more well-to-do, they perhaps have a little larger home than most, and that is also why they host the local Christians in their worship assemblies, the church in your house, as Paul says it. But something had gone terribly wrong between Philemon and his slave Onesimus, and Onesimus had run away, which was a capital offense in the Roman Empire. Now, just a word about slavery. In those days, slavery was not exactly like the institution of slavery as we experienced it in our American history. Most slaves were prisoners of war who would have been slaughtered had they not been enslaved, and then usually they would be able to win their freedom back within a decade or so. Other slaves were debt slaves, people who had fallen into large debt or had fallen on hard times, and so that they were forced to give themselves into slavery just so they could eat, and then they too could earn back their freedom after a certain number of years. Now, none of that makes slavery right. It was just a fact of life in the ancient world. And while Paul never explicitly condemns the institution of slavery, he does help Christian slaves to see that they are more free than their masters. And he helps Christian masters to see that they have the obligation of love toward their slaves because they themselves are slaves of Christ. So the gospel of Christ is a power that transformed slavery into a more humane institution and eventually sowed the seeds for the eventual overthrow of slavery altogether. But as in all things having to do with Christ, the battle against slavery will be won over time, and not with war, but by the force of love. But love conquers one relationship at a time. And in this case, it is Philemon and Onesimus whose relationship needs the transformative power of Christ's love. Now, the problem here seems to be the fault of Onesimus. Not that Philemon was a perfect master, but Paul never does address anything that Philemon did wrong. Doesn't say that he abused his slaves or anything like that. And we'd like to believe that as a Christian, Philemon was good and kind toward Onesimus. But the problem seems to have been the fault of Onesimus who was not yet a Christian when he ran away. And there are two hints that we have that Onesimus caused this problem. First of all, Paul says to Philemon that formerly Onesimus was useless to you. More literally, the Greek word means he was unprofitable to you. A good slave should bring his master a profit. But that wasn't happening, apparently, in the case of Onesimus. Maybe he was lazy, indolent, or combative. But it created quite a rub between these two men. They did not like each other. And the other hint we have is Paul's words that Onesimus had wronged Philemon and owed him. Perhaps Onesimus stole from Philemon when he ran away. And if you're in Onesimus' shoes, you know, why not? The Roman punishment for a runaway slave, well, I think you probably know what it is. Same thing happened to Jesus. And it's not as though stealing some money on his way out of the house would have gotten him a harsher punishment than what he already had coming. So besides whatever else was going on between these two, now Onesimus had run away and had stolen from his master. He had better never step foot in Colossae again. He is a marked man. Their disdain for each other is on a par, but what's not on a par is the power that Philemon has to make Onesimus pay with his life. Well, it's during that time as a fugitive slave that Onesimus meets Paul, probably in Rome. Onesimus heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was baptized. He became a Christian, just like his master Philemon, from whom he had run away. And now they are both Christians. And yet they still despise each other. So what is Paul supposed to do? Sitting there in prison, Onesimus became useful to him, perhaps as a courier or a gopher to go get whatever Paul needed, and as good company. So should Paul keep Onesimus to himself, which would be the easy thing to do? Or does he send Onesimus back to where he rightfully belongs, back to Philemon to fulfill his vocational duties? In the end, Paul sends him back, but carrying this letter that Onesimus would hand deliver to his master Philemon, with the plea that Philemon would receive Onesimus back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. Now try to imagine the scene when Onesimus got back to Colossae with this letter in hand. He is a marked man. His life is on the line as he nervously approaches Philemon's house, knocks on the door. Apphia comes to the door, and it opens slowly, and her jaw drops when she recognizes who it is. And she calls to her husband, "Philemon, you better come, quick." And he comes over, and he steps up to the door, and he's just aghast at the vision of his runaway slave standing there in the doorway. My guess is there were not a lot of words exchanged. There were no hugs or how are yous. These two men genuinely had despised each other for years. And Onesimus, as we see on the screen, sheepishly extends his hand, clutching this rolled up letter. And he simply says to his master, "Master, this is from Paul, and he asks you to read it before you decide what to do with me." The tension is so thick. Will Philemon have Onesimus arrested and crucified? Or will he listen to Paul's plea and take Onesimus back to himself as a brother in Christ. And that is where the story ends. Perhaps one of the greatest cliffhangers in Scripture. Whatever happened between these two men? Of course, we'd like to think that Philemon took Paul's words to heart and received back his former slave as a brother in Christ, that the two of them finally did embrace one another and even exchange that holy kiss of peace. But I think the very fact that this letter has been preserved for the church is strong evidence that things went well that day. If Philemon's reaction had been one of anger and of retribution, I doubt he would have let anyone else see this letter for the embarrassment it would have caused him not to heed Paul's words. But in anger, he'd have torn it to pieces, and it wouldn't be in our Bible today. But if Philemon did receive Onesimus back as a Christian brother, there would have been great joy for him, not only to share this letter with the church at his house, but to share it with the whole world as a powerful testimony of what the love of Christ can do to engender forgiveness and to heal relationships and to tear down divisions. I'm pretty sure that things went very well that day, that Philemon read this letter, and that Onesimus begged for forgiveness, and Philemon received him back as a brother. And then they told the church their relationship had been healed. And how could it be otherwise? You see, Paul had made his appeal as the very embodiment of Christ and of the gospel. Listen again to these words and listen for echoes of Christ's gospel in these words of Paul. He says, "If you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing your life to me." How very Christ-like of Paul to write like that. Receive him as you would receive me. Is that not Christ, who prays the same thing for us, that the Father would receive us just as he receives the Son? And then Paul says, if he has wronged you or he owes you anything, charge that to my account. Is that not also Christ, who, although he was innocent, took the cost of our sins onto his own account and paid the price of the debt that we owed to God at the cross? And then Paul says, he takes the pen in his own hand, and he says, I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing your own self to me. And again, we are reminded that we owe our lives to Christ, who paid for us. The grace of Jesus Christ that is modeled here by Paul can have no other effect in the child of God than to stir up our hearts to forgiveness and a yearning to be reconciled. I can't even imagine, can you? I can't even imagine that Philemon, after reading this letter, would still hold on to a grudge against his slave or mistreat him. And I hope it's just as hard for you to imagine yourself, after hearing the gospel, to imagine that you would continue nursing old grudges. You would continue bearing unforgiveness towards someone or mistreating someone. You see, as those to whom sin still clings, let's just face it, we often wear on one another. We grieve one another's inner man. We hurt each other. But that's not incidental to the life of the church, people. That is a feature of the church. God has so constituted the church that when sin creeps in to divide us, as it always will, we can be brought to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the forgiver of us all. And then in meekness, we can go to that brother or that sister that we have hurt and humbly plead for forgiveness and reconciliation. And then, rather than nursing petty grudges or lording it over a fellow Christian, we can just be done with sin and its bitter aftermath in our presence. Indeed, how could we do otherwise? Sin and its consequences died with Jesus on the cross, and they were drowned in the waters of the baptism with which you were baptized. Can two people who genuinely dislike each other come in Christ to be friends? Can grace and forgiveness be that big? Well, it happened 2,000 years ago between Philemon and Onesimus. Why not you? In the precious name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.